This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
We all have them. These ways of thinking that are just so entrenched and ingrained in who we are as a society, who we are as a family, who we are as an individual. And what we're doing today is we are breaking them down, we are calling them out, and we are holding ourselves accountable to reaching a higher level. Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and entrepologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. So I've been doing a ton of self-work in 2020, as has, the entire world, because there's nothing like having a little bit of pressure placed upon us to really force us to examine and look at the things that are holding us back and making us unhappy and draining our energy and not nourishing our soul. And in doing so, it's allowed me to have some incredible conversations with other women, other female leaders, and really get in touch with some of the ideas and things that are holding us back. I recently sat down and started to inventory some of the ideas that have emerged from these conversations with other women, and frankly have emerged from my own soul searching. And what I realized and I was able to pull together were five limiting beliefs that I truly believe are pervasive within our way of thinking, but I think are holding us back from our potential for impact. I really believe that 2020 can be a year that is a gift to all of us, but it requires that we lean into it. It requires that we don't deny and suppress and ignore the lessons that have been handed to us, frankly, on a silver platter. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to unpack five limiting beliefs that I have had to address in my own life, but I hear over and over again in the lives of impactful women. So here we go. Number one, helping people means not earning what you are worth. There's one sentence I hear over and over again, and I spoke about this recently in our Raise Your Rates challenge, but I was literally on the phone with this incredible individual, so talented at the work that she does. I had two conversations of this nature in 1 week. But she was in the midst of bankruptcy proceedings. She was liquidating her life to cover her debt. And she said to me, Megan, the challenge and the heartache that I'm experiencing in all of this is that I just want to help people. This idea that just helping people has to come at the expense of your entire life and your whole future and the possibility of intergenerational wealth is something that saddens me to the core. The limiting belief that so many of us hold on to is that we can't help people while also earning an income. My challenge to everyone, including myself, because I know that there are times where I feel this way, where I want to default just to helping people, is that it's on us to innovate our offer, not cheapen our pricing. When we cheapen our pricing across the board, when we cheapen the pricing at the expense of our costs, we render our giving unsustainable. We make that giving only accessible to those people who are in the most privileged positions. When we are forced by constraints to innovate how we offer, we come up with offers that are able to actually impact and reach more people. It is not, there are few vocations in this world, perhaps being a monk, perhaps entering the seminary and working in the church, perhaps being supported by an entirely different avenue that really open us up to the possibility of helping people without any regard for the cost and overhead. Even the most incredible charities have a fiduciary duty to their board and to the people that they help to create a system and structure that renders them sustainable. This idea of I just want to help people needs to be accompanied with, well, how are we going to render this not only sustainable, but impact worthy? How can we increase and add elements of profitability so that we can reach even more people? I just want to help people. We need to eliminate the just. And we need to understand that helping people is brilliantly tied to our capacity to drive sustainability. Richard Branson said it best, that if you want to make $1 million, you need to help a million people. That needs to be the new standard. That needs to be the new, I just want to help people. But for all of you out there who really have this vision for impact, who really have this vision for wanting to assist others, I applaud you. I share it. But we need to do it not at our own expense. We need to do it while building in an element of profitability and sustainability so that our work has a future, so that our work can be picked up by others, so that our work and the benefits that we feel in our soul as a result of being able to help people is an opportunity that's accessible to others as well. Limiting belief number two, confidence takes time. Confidence doesn't take time. Confidence takes courage. I know so many people, and myself included, for the longest time, I was like, once I have my, like, once I'm really confident in what I'm doing, I'm going to go for this. I had this thing in my head forever. Like, I feel like I wasted so much potential in my 30s because I was like, when I turn 40, it's like confidence is handed to you on a silver platter. But here's what I've come to realize is that confidence is accessible to any of us at any time. It doesn't arrive. It isn't sent to us. We can't order it. We can't buy it. It doesn't come when you turn 40 or 50 or 60. It doesn't come when you sell your first company. It doesn't come when you give birth. Confidence comes when we do one thing. We make a commitment to being courageous. We make a commitment to stepping into the ring. We make a commitment to becoming good at something, to trying something, to do something over and over again until we acquire what is a feature and symptom of confidence that comes before full-blown confidence, and that's competence. Competence is not something that you can purchase, just like the leg indicator confidence. Competence comes from doing something, from falling down and getting back up, from innovating, from learning, from addressing those failures, from not being concerned about what other people think. Confidence is a leg indicator. It is the reward. And when you get the reward of confidence, it doesn't come with fanfare. It doesn't arrive in a big check at the front door, the balloons and TV cameras. Confidence comes in a small envelope in the mail, and you rip it open and you stash it away. Because what you realize is it was never confidence that you were chasing. Confidence is just acquired quietly, the way a headache slips away when you finally take an Advil. That's how confidence arrives. But it comes from making the commitment to being courageous, to being brave, to stepping into the ring. We need to let go of this limiting belief that confidence takes time, and we need to go after it. We need to trust that it will arrive when we have the courage to step forward in the direction of where we want to have impact, of where we want to leave our mark. I promise you, all of you will have access to this confidence piece, but we need to align our actions in the right way. Limiting belief number three. Oh gosh, did I ever hang on to this one for a while? Boundaries make you a bitch. Boundaries preserve your energy. Boundaries enable you to have sustainability. Boundaries are way easier when you've done that courageous thing. You got a little more of that confidence because you just throw them down. Because one of the advantages of being courageous over and over again, of having that state of confidence, is you just care a little bit less about what people think. Boundaries are what protect you and preserve you as a light worker in this world, as someone who wants to have impact. Boundaries are also the thing that protect our time. They protect us so that we can be present with our kids. They keep us from engaging in activities that don't serve our future. There are so many brilliant, talented people in this world who can handle all the things that you need to say no to because it overlaps with your boundaries. And boundaries are not just about saying yes too often to tangible physical things that take our time. Boundaries are also about saying no to those things that we know energetically are not aligned. Boundaries are about having difficult conversations. Boundaries, ironically, are also about having that courage. But when we put those boundaries in place, when we are clear and compassionate in our communication around them, what we start to do is we start to attract people into our lives who are also okay with this higher standard of living. who are also okay and understand that boundaries are a symptom of self-worth. If we're going to do work in this world to help and support other people, part of being leaders, the personal leadership required to do that in an authentic way, means that we need to protect our energy, we need to protect our time, and we need to protect our money. And that starts with not just articulating our boundaries, but understanding for ourselves what our own unique boundaries look like. Limiting belief number 4. Challenges and hard things mean that you are on the wrong path. I think 2020 and its inescapable clutches have really taught all of us this notion, and that is we can get through hard things. We are designed to handle stress. Physiologically, we are meant to handle stress. In fact, what happens if we think about a muscle, when you put a muscle under stress, that's when that muscle actually starts to grow. We are designed psychically, psychologically, emotionally, physiologically to be able to withstand high degrees of pressure. We're able to handle those even better when we have a clear indication of what our boundaries look like. But what pressure actually does is it makes us stronger. It forces us to become resilient. Resilience, like confidence, is not something you can purchase. It's something you earn, and we're earning our stripes right now. For a long time, I heard people say this, oh, well, if you hit any resistance, you're on the wrong path. You need to reorient. In my experience, when you step into the ring, when you're engaging in courageous acts, it's not easy, nor is it meant to. We need indicators other than something is a challenge or something is hard to let us know that we are on the right or the wrong path. I ask people all the time on the Anthropology podcast, I say, what are your KPIs? What are your key performance indicators in life? Something being hard is not a KPI of whether or not you are on your path that is your truth. Something being hard is part of life. Climbing a mountain is hard. Giving birth is hard. Starting a business is hard. Raising children is hard. Grade 12 algebra is hard. These things are hard, but it doesn't mean that we're on the wrong path. It's what enables us to grow. So reorient your thinking to challenges. Reorient your thinking to hard. Lean into some of the stress of life. Look forward to the resilience that it's going to build for you. Being happy is not about being challenged. Being on the right path is not about avoiding challenges. It holds so many people back when they're looking for these external validations, these external signs that they are where they need to be. But the signs that we're looking for, those signs reside inside of us. The first place you're going to feel that tingle that you're in the right room is going to be on the inside. It's not coming out externally. So let go of this idea that challenges mean you are on the right path. In fact, those challenges probably mean that you are on the path of growth. And the last limiting belief I want to throw down on the table, and again, these are all things I've been exploring. These are all things that I'm like ripping apart and tackling in my own life. But the last one I want to address is this, that investing in yourself costs too much. Over the course of the last year, we have produced so much content for our audience in a variety of different contexts. Some of it entirely free financially. It always takes time. Some of it was paid, but my lens in which we create this content is always centered around having a very clear understanding of how this is going to provide a return on investment for those people who engage in what it is that we produce. Similarly, when I invest externally, I want to understand what that ROI is going to look like in my own life. How is it going to give me back my time? How is it going to add more freedom? How is it going to change and impact my relationships with my family? How is it going to add to my business? When we view things through that lens and we start to have faith and confidence in our own capacity to execute and do big things, we're able to start to view this notion of investing in ourselves not as an expense, but as a way to facilitate expedited growth. When I go and I get a massage, I'm nourishing the part of me that fuels all of my other work. When I stop and I go out to dinner and I enjoy that time with my husband, I am nourishing myself so that I can continue to do the things that I want to put into this world. When I hire a coach or an advisor or a therapist or any of these people, these aren't line items on my expenses. They're all there intentionally to fuel my impact. When we view all of these pieces as something I simply can't afford to do right now, we slow and we halt our progress. Rather than saying, I can't do it right now, I can't afford to invest in myself, stop and look at it through a new lens. When I couple my incredible capacity for action taking, my incredible capacity for strategic thinking, with this investment in myself opportunity, what will I be capable of on the other side? There are very few investments that we will make in our life, in our business, and for ourselves that don't require that we pair and match them with an equal investment of our time and strategy. But all of these things are meant to serve as catapults for us as the cannonball. The cannonball on its own cannot fly very far, but the catapult without something to throw is a useless tool. Investing in yourself needs to be a catapult, cannonball type relationship. And I am so sorry that this is the analogy that literally flew into my mind in this moment. Investing in yourself is the thing that will help you reach more people. It will help you earn more, taking us right back to limiting belief number one. Investing in yourself gives you a new platform, a new energy, a new level of nourishment that will expedite your access to confidence. Because it will help you with the courageous steps you need to do. Surrounding yourself with the people who want to hang out with your future self are all going to increase the speed in which you are executing on the impact and mission and purpose that you have in your life. Investing in yourself usually means you need to have tighter boundaries in other areas of your life because it's going to require time and energy. And investing in yourself smooths out those challenges. It takes the things that are really, really hard, and it gives you a map and framework upon which to move forward. 2020 has been an amazing opportunity for so many of us for so many reasons. But what I don't want for any of us, frankly, at the end of what is amounting to be a really long year, is to miss out on the lessons that were given to us, that were packaged to us, in this year of vision. I truly believe in everyone's capacity for impact. I truly believe if you're hanging out in the anthropology community that you are here for a reason, that you've got a mission burning inside of you. And every day we tackle a new limiting belief, a new one is going to open up for us. That's part of the journey. It's part of why we are here. It's part of the human experience. But how we manage those things, how we integrate them, how we attack them, those are the things that are going to make a difference for us down the road. These are the conversations I love to have on the Anthropology Podcast. This is what it's about. It's about addressing the mindset. It's about nourishing our body. It's about exploring the tactics that enable us to have the impact we have always dreamed of. If you want to have more of these conversations, if you want to talk more about how we can amplify our impact in the world, then I'm going to invite you to come and hang out with us over in the Anthropology Collective. It's our free Facebook group. And what we do is we gather women exactly like you, badass women who are on a mission to make the world a better place. So come and find us, hang out with us in the Anthropology Collective on Facebook. We will be back here next week. We're going to be exploring some business topics. We're going to be talking a little bit about money and investment and all these things in ourselves. We will drop again next Tuesday morning. I'm Dr. Megan Walker. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today.